shoe.
I'll be your fairy friend. I'll guide you till the end. In trouble I'll defend. In heartache I will mend.
Have you heard the story of Padraig O'Connell, the Irish harper? He learned the magic of music in the land of faery and then travelled all over Ireland and even abroad to bring the healing power of music to all who were in need. Until he returned 30 years later to the Hollow Hills. That's where the fairy folk live, the land of she, the Hollow Hills. Well, during Padraig's first year as an itinerant harper, he had many adventures, along with the usual mishaps and near disasters. So Bridget Cruz, Queen of the Fairies, decided to provide a little help, a little helper, for Padraig. One he should never know was there. Someone who could keep those little mishaps and near disasters at a little further distance from the healer harper. She knew just the fairy for the job. This particular fairy was very dear to Bridget, and Bridget could trust her to understand the importance of keeping Padraig safe during his long journey. The fairy vowed to keep Padraig from disaster and to never reveal herself to the harper until they were both safely home in the Hollow Hills. Then she was sent off to join Padraig in his travels. The fairy's name, well, her name is very difficult to pronounce, full of diphthongs and trills and uvular fricatives. And to spell it out in Gaelic, well, there are so many of those silent consonants, it would take a whole handspan of paper to write it out. So we'll call her Shu, because that's the first sound in her name. What did she look like? Well, in the Hollow Hills she looked just like herself. But here in our world, she could appear in any form she could imagine. Sometimes she couldn't decide whether to be a beautiful woman or a fish. So she would imagine both and, oops, guess what she appeared to be. Yes, a mermaid. And you know, she always believed that she was the one that started that fad. All the others, copycats. Mostly, while she traveled with Padraig, she chose to appear invisible. That, she reasoned, will keep him from noticing me. Whenever Padraig would play his harp, Shu would sit very close so she could not only hear the beautiful music, but also feel the vibration. It reminded her of the sweet breeze in the Hollow Hills, and sometimes she would close her eyes for just a moment and peek in on the she. That's exactly what happened the time she let a near disaster get too close for comfort. She opened her eyes when the sound of the harp's dying scream called her back from her reverie. She saw the blade of the axe that had destroyed the harp poised over Padraig's head and on its way down. She quickly grabbed onto the handle and held the axe back, inches from Padraig's skull, just long enough for Padraig to roll away to safety. When she let go of the handle, the extra momentum sent the axe crashing through the floorboards, taking with it the very drunk and confused young Tory that held it. That was too close. From now on, I'll keep my eyes open as long as Padraig is awake. And even when he sleeps, I'll keep one eye open and only one eye on home. There were a few other close calls, because, well, fairies aren't perfect, you know. The story Shu enjoys telling the most is the one about the near disaster that she simply couldn't have seen coming. You wouldn't think that love should be disastrous. Okay, maybe you would, but Shu didn't see anything wrong with the love she saw developing between Padraig and young Katie of Galway. Padraig met Katie at the Galway County Spring Fair. This was the second time he'd be performing at the Galway Fair. The first time, the year before, he'd been out on the road for only a few months. But he was very well received, and he knew that this year his reputation would precede him. And sure enough, when he arrived, he was greeted warmly by the other musicians and the craftspeople at their booths. A young lady, about 17 years old, appeared the first morning as Padraig began his early set. She disappeared when his set was over, and Padraig looked around to see if he could find her. He wasn't sure what compelled him, but you know how love is. Very confusing at times. She continued to appear just at the start of each set that day, and then she was gone when he was finished. All Padraig could find out was that her name is Katie, and that her father was a weaver who had missed the fair the year before because of an illness in the family. No one could remember which booth they held, and Padraig had yet to discover which direction she would arrive from. She just seemed to be suddenly there. Shu knew that Padraig would need a little help if he was ever going to make Katie's acquaintance. So she watched extra carefully the next morning and was lucky enough to spot Katie slipping out from the back flap of a nearby tented booth. Padraig was busy tuning his harp, so he didn't notice. When the set ended, Padraig was too busy receiving compliments from the crowd that had gathered to notice that Katie had slipped quickly back into the tent. So Shu imagined herself to be Katie. She stood by until she was sure Padraig had caught sight of her. Then she walked to Katie's tent and slipped around the side and disappeared, just like that. That's how it's really done, you know. There's no magic in Katie's disappearing act. She was often overpleased with her fairy feats. But her little stunt had done the trick. She watched as Padraig entered the weaver's tent and inquired about Katie. Katie? What do you want as my daughter? Who are you? How do you know my Katie? Well, Padraig, not being trained in the proper way to court a young lady, was about to blurt out, I think I'm in love with her, when Shu managed to whisper a more subtle approach. Padraig found himself instead saying, My name is Padraig O'Connell, sir, and I do a bit of harping. I happened to notice that Katie attended every one of my performances yesterday and the one this morning, and I thought she might be interested in learning a song or two on the harp, if she has free time, that is. With your permission, of course. My Katie? Are you sure it's my daughter you've seen? Katie's been busy in the back at the spinning wheel all day yesterday and this morning, too. She does all the spinning now her mum's gone, God rest her. He disappeared behind a partition separating the living area from the display portion of the booth. He returned with Katie, and yes, indeed, this was the very one Padraig had been looking for. Her face lit up when she saw Padraig, but just as suddenly as her disappearances had been, the look of recognition was gone from her eyes. Have you ever seen this young man, my dear Katie? No, da. She hung her head, and her father sent her back to her spinning. He said, You must have been mistaken. And he turned to help a large-sized woman choose a cloth for a summer dress. Padraig felt such great sorrow that when his next set began, he had his audience in tears from the sadness in his music. But Katie arrived by the end of the first song, and he was suddenly filled with joy. For the rest of the set, folks danced and danced in spite of the warm late morning sun. They were so exhausted when his set ended that nobody crowded round him as he wrapped his harp in its protective sheepskin. He watched Katie walk slowly toward her tent and ran to catch up with her. In a moment, Vidal'll hear that the wheel is not spinning. I must be back. I've work to do. Padraig couldn't speak. His heart thumped in his throat. And Katie disappeared once again under the back flap. Padraig stared at the back of the tent with his heart stuck in his throat. He felt lightheaded, and a familiar cool mist seemed to fog his vision. But he came to his senses and realized that that old weaver has been forcing his daughter to slave for him. And during spring fair, this is no time to work. This is a time to sell your work, the work you've completed between fairs. He marched around to the front of the booth. Oh, you again. Don't you think your daughter has done enough spinning? Why don't you let her enjoy the fair like other girls her age? A morning or an afternoon off, perhaps. Ha! I listened to your last performance. You played quite well. Business was quite good following your set. Folks were in such an agreeable mood and too tired to tug over the price. Well, what makes you so sure Katie wants an afternoon off? She seems content at the wheel, even humming as she works. But think how much more content. Or you, young man. It's your contentment you're concerned with. I was young once myself. You know, I've got eyes in my head. I still don't see how you could have seen Katie yesterday. She's barely stepped out of the tent since our arrival. Padraig didn't want to reveal Katie's secret, so he just shrugged. He seemed to be doing all right with the old weaver for some reason he couldn't understand. And Shu, well, she couldn't see what was bound to happen any better than Padraig could, or she would have found a way to stop the courtship of Padraig and Katie.
I'll be your fairy friend. I'll guide you till the end. In trouble I'll defend. In heartache I will mend.
Well, we'll skip all the mushy lovey-dovey stuff and just say that Katie and Padraig fell quite deeply in love that week at the fair, and all under the approving eye of Katie's father, who even pitched in with the spinning to give the two more time together. But at the end of the week, when folks were returning to their planting and craftsmen were packing their tents to return to hearth and home to produce more wares for the next fair, Padraig asked the old weaver for Katie's hand. The weaver gave his blessing so willingly, Padraig almost asked him why he'd be so happy to have his daughter leave him to go with an itinerant harper wherever his music takes them. But he didn't ask. Instead, he ran to tell Katie the wonderful news, and oh, he almost forgot, he got down on his knee, and he asked her properly to be his wife. He couldn't understand the sadness in her eyes. I thought you'd be happy. Oh, Padraig, I do want to be your wife, and I'd love to see all of Ireland and always hear your music, but my father needs my help. He can't possibly do enough spinning and weaving to support himself. I can't imagine why he'd agree to this. Surely he doesn't expect you to stay here. But yes, Shu realized that's exactly what he expected. Think of how good business would be with Padraig's magic touch on his harp, bringing folks in to joyously buy up every last thread of cloth. No, this cannot happen. The magic isn't for one man's pocket. How could I have missed it? Shu scolded herself. But she knew what she would have to do. When Katie grew ill with the agony of this impossible decision, Shu arranged a little visit for Katie to the Shi, the Hollow Hills. There's not much Katie will say of her visit there, just that she understands and that she will join Padraig when the time is right. Katie and her father went home. Padraig took the road north. Shu renewed her vow to keep disaster away. Padraig was heartbroken. Katie was heartbroken. The old weaver was heartbroken. But Shu was relieved.
I'll be your fairy friend. I'll guide you till the end. In trouble I'll defend. In heartache.